teasing you about that, and you got really upset about me teasing you about enunciation, and it's what ended up with your rap name, your new rap name, DJ Library.
That was different. That was pronunciation. I was talking about enunciation.
Hello, Fiend. Who is this?
Are y'all on the air yet?
Yeah, who's this?
Is this live?
Yeah, who's this?
Yeah, we're live.
This is Eric.
What could we do for you, Eric?
Would you like to have sex with President Obama?
No.
What about Mitt Romney?
No.
Okay, fuck you, bye.
Would you?
Okay. He said, okay, fuck you, bye. Well, you know, we've been doing this show for like 8 months
nobody's ever called in.
Like, you know, the picture we have for the picture we have on the Fiend site is like someone screaming into a telephone, and I'm like, we never get calls like that. You know, we always get these people agreeing with us and talking about how great liberty is, and that guy actually called right before we came on. He said, "Is this the live number?" And I said, "Yeah," and he hung up. And I said, that sounded kind of like,
well, you said, what do you want to talk about? And he goes, nothing, bye.
And hung up. I know.
And then he called, do you want to have sex with President Obama? Well, I mean, I guess that's a valid question. Because there are probably people out there who do want to have sex with President Obama. I don't know about Mitt Romney, though.
Well,
I doubt there's anybody out there who wants to have sex with Romney.
Yeah. Scott Horton's new show from Thursday. Well, his show from Thursday talks about that. He talks about how Obama's going to win because nobody loves Romney. They'll vote for Romney because they hate Obama, but there are people who love Obama to the point where he's their religion, to where Obama could eat their child in front of them and they'd still vote for him, literally.
Yeah. I wanted to like queue up a clip for it, but that's sort of a Thursday show thing for us. Not really set up to do it here on the LRN show. But
it's such an amazing show, great. Man.
He basically says... He's awesome. Yeah, he
Scott
says
has outdone himself.
There are people out there
who love. Yeah. He could eat a fetus on national TV, and they'd still love him. There was, you know,
right.
I listened to his show from Thursday, and the one where he interviewed the guy about how TV manipulates you. But before that, he talked an hour about the election, and then I listened to Ben Stone's show back to back on LRN, and those guys are two of my favorite radio guys.
Fiend phone.
That's the same guy. I'm hanging up on him, man.
Let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
Fiend.
We'll give him one more chance.
What can we do for you?
After third strike is out.
You're on the air.
Are you guy?
No.
Are we guy? Yeah, I'm a guy. Are you a guy?
Okay, then suck my cock, bitch.
All right.
Hello?
Thank you. All right. Okay, that number is not getting on the air again.
Wow. We're gonna have to block you, Eric. Thanks for calling, though. That was very pleasurable for me.
Good radio.
I hope it pleasured you as well. Yeah.
Yeah. He probably thinks like, I'll get them in trouble on the radio with the government, but we're not that.
Oh, is that
radio.
It?
I don't
is
know. I have no idea. So
I bet he thinks he's like making us angry or something, but that doesn't kind of
made our
sweat
day.
Off my brow.
He kind of made our day, care. And he's not getting back on the air because, you know, I'm trying to say stuff and he's not getting it, you know, but, so Scott and Ben are usually great, but they were just so beyond better than they usually even are. I mean, they were just like, it was like the best two episodes I've ever heard, to the point where I would say as soon as you're done listening to the show, you should go listen to both their shows for Thursday. I was going to say they're so good, you should stop listening to us immediately live and go listen to their archives. But you and DJ both told me not to say that. But I would say that.
You can
that
just, good. I don't care. You just sort of said it anyway.
That's my way of doing it.
You know, I think the show you're referring to is the Halloween show, the one that says, you know, 10/31/2012. That's the one where he basically says, you know, you liberals out there, you love Barack Obama more than you love your own life. He could be like running a sword through your guts and you'd be like, oh, dear leader. Yeah, he says it more eloquently than that.
He really
but,
does.
But the gist is the same. But the latest episode is really great, too. Not so much for what he says, but the interviews are really great. And the show after that, which is November 2nd, he interviews a guy, an expatriate from Iran, about the whole Iran thing. And it's just wonderful. And he also interviews John Whitehead, the guy who was Brendan Robb's lawyer, who's actually doing work to make model legislation that's like anti-drone. And Scott was like, you know, that's not going to do anything. No state's going to pass that, man. Loving cops and officer safety is like the number one thing in all of American society. And John Whitehead's like, yeah, you're probably right.
I know.
And then they
it's
just went off talking
too.
About
I mean,
how the world was getting worse. Yeah, it's great.
Getting worse to where like I mean, there's a federal judge who just said it was okay for cops to put cameras on someone's property without a warrant. I mean, it's okay. We're not constitutionalists, but like, you live in America, you're in the law system, you should follow it. And it's gotten to the point where like, cops don't follow it, prosecutors don't follow it, federal judges don't follow it, the Supreme Court doesn't follow it, Congress doesn't follow it, and yeah, the president doesn't follow it. And it's like,
they don't have to. It's like what Scott Beiser said, you know, a society will, a government will do whatever the society will tolerate. It's not about what's written down on some piece of paper or what's written in a law or a constitution. It's what people will let you get away with. And people just let them get away with it. It's like Scott said, they just started putting red light cameras everywhere and cameras in every town in America. Nobody said anything. Was there even a referendum? He says no, but actually there was. In Washington State, one of the towns in the middle of the state,
the people voted against it, and they did it anyway.
People voted against it.
And they did it anyway.
They said, well, you're not voting in your best interest, in the best interest of safety, so it's a null vote. That's democracy. That's American-style democracy for you.
If they want, like Mama Liberty said, if they want it, if they don't want civil disturbances, they should stop disturbing us. Right. And you know, I was thinking the other day about like how bad people are, and it's like you know, I kind of like what Paul Bonneau says, like rights or whatever you can fight to keep, whatever you can keep. And I was thinking about like you know, in war throughout history, like, you know, conquering armies have always like raped the women, tortured the men, stolen everything. And it's like, I'm thinking about like, what percentage of the human race would probably do that stuff if they could get away with it? And I think it's pretty high, like 10 or 20%. I really do. And a lot of those people are like adamantly involved in politics, adamant about voting. They try to get on juries. You know, they are the people who like would rape your mother or daughter or wife and, you know, like let you bleed out while you watch it happen tied up if they could. I really believe that not a majority, but a high, a striking minority of humans are like that. I think it's
some kind of double digit minority.
Yeah.
You may be right. But then again, is that part of a product of growing up in a society where the state is your God? That.
You know, and I would say like really the honest people don't rape, even if they can get away with it. So like, you know, I wouldn't rape someone if I could get away with it. I wouldn't kill someone and torture them just to see them die. So I think, you know, the measure of an honest person is someone who wouldn't rape or kill or steal if they could get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like in Heinlein's book, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. You know, those people died. They got thrown out. They got evacuated, thrown in an airlock and just...
Who did?
Sent to the winds. The people who were like that 10% to 20% of people who would rape a woman just to watch her scream. Those kind of people.
How'd they know?
Last
did they have
society.
A test? Did they have a written test?
No, they had juries. They would do an informal jury. If somebody was caught doing this or a woman accused them, they would have an informal jury, and they would have an informal judge too. They would just get them, so it'd truly be of your peers. It wouldn't be like a change of venue, like Rodney King kind of stuff. It would just be like whoever's on the street at the time and whoever's a respected individual in society that is trustworthy and honest and is hanging around there or is in the immediate vicinity. You'd, hey, come over here. Come judge this. And then you'd pay them a fee too. So yeah, I mean, I think part of it too is people can get away with it now, not just from the legal system, but also if people are inclined to control people, to dominate people, they have avenues right now. They can be cops. They can join up the army. Then they can go kill and rape all the little brown people they want to. They can join the Congress and call the shots on those kinds of things.
They can vote. I had an argument with a friend of mine last night who used to be an anarchist, and she lived with this band, Millions of Dead Cops, in San Francisco and worked for them. And she was telling me, why did you post this gun control, this gun training video? I'm very into gun control. And I tried to explain to her that just means she wants cops to put a gun to my head, and she couldn't really get it.
Right. She wants cops to control the guns.
She wanted to disagree. That's what she wanted to agree to disagree. She wanted to not fight. But, you know, I like.
It's like you're pointing a gun at my face. It's not an agree to disagree kind of thing.
Yep. A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Okay, I'll record it. Yeah, go ahead. Scott Horton is heroic. I agree.
And thanks for not reminding me in 5 minutes about the show, Michael.
Well, I know you were kidding, but it was kind of like I'm doing 50 things at once, and I'm like, really? You're telling me I have to remind you in 5 minutes? Come on, man.
No, I was just joking with you. Plus, it gives your post relevance if people comment on it. So.
I guess. Okay.
And but anyways,
I'm incredibly busy the 5 or 10 minutes before a show. I mean, it's like being air traffic controller, the stuff I have to do to get ready.
Cool, man,
it felt like I was trying to get the above 9,000 score on the video game while my little brother was tapping me on the shoulder, going, "Hey." So what else, man?
The reason I really called is to tell you and Nima and Chris Black, if he's listening, what a fantastic job you guys did on that song, man.
Oh, Rich Black?
Rich Black,
yeah.
Sorry.
Andre,
Friended him on Facebook.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate
super
that.
Fantastic. And
cool.
Two best lines from it would be the, I'd rather play life with my wife, and to sum it up in a phrase, motherfucking state. So I don't know if yeah. we get the credit for those two lines, but
both of us.
Nima did the first one. I like it
life
when rappers.
Life is mine. Andre was motherfuck the state.
I like it when rappers talk about their wives. You know, when they use the word wife too. I don't know. I've noticed that in rap sometimes, like Ice-T does it. Because people think
usually
like,
you
rappers,
don't think of rappers having wives.
I think of them as like these total like rock and roll sluts, you know, fucking banging anything they can. But you know, just like
well, there are also like, rappers that have wives, like Snoop Dogg, but never rap about them and only rap about all the bitches they're fucking.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And that's kind of like really
that,
is that really what you're
I
doing?
I thought that was nice stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, all we appreciate
right,
that.
I'm going to free it up and get off the line, but I just wanted to call and tell you guys that you guys did a great job.
Thanks for calling, Joe.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Peace.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
It's Yo. Freedom Fiends Live.
Yeah.
We've already had 2 callers. I guess if you were listening to the live feed, you probably didn't hear the last caller. You can go check that out on the archives. It's a good call, but short and sweet, how we like them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. If you want to call in, you can dial 307-215-5171. In the meantime, I think Michael said he had some news to go through, huh?
Yeah. A few real quick things. One is... we have a dance contest. You can win a copy of the Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle DVD. Go to the Freedom Fiends blog, and it's the second or third post down. It's you look at the video of the Obama feet stink, and you copy or interpret your own interpretation of Nima doing the stank foot dance. You videotape it, you put it on YouTube, and you give us a link, and you can win.
Which this the Stankfoot, you know, you watch it, but basically it's hop on one foot, grab one foot with your arm, plug your nose with your other free hand, and stick out your tongue. And bounce to the beat.
Yeah.
Hard to do, awkward, especially if you have a belly like me. Like it was hard to keep my foot in the air, but you know, it's possible.
You didn't see your belly in the video. I did some editing.
Oh, thank you.
There was one scene where you were kind of jumping up and down and your shirt came up and you could see your belly and I moved you down in the frame.
I appreciate
I help
that.
My friends that way and then explain
TV
it on,
magic,
on the
right?
internet. Yeah. So,
yeah, I remember when I used to interview people as a reporter and they'd be like, well, I'm kind of fat today. Can you Photoshop me lighter? Like kind of as a joke, but it's just funny, like thinking you could Photoshop people like that.
You know what's kind of funny? That band Millions of Dead Cops I was talking about, our neighbors in San Francisco, they were playing in Berlin the same time Bomb was playing in Berlin, and we had a night off and went to see them. And their singer had put on a bunch of weight and had a belly, big belly, and was like, you know, playing with his shirt off, which you really probably shouldn't do if you have a big belly. So yeah. And playing this anarchist squat, totally packed show. And Dave, right before the show, the singer, came up to me and Tony Fagg, the drummer and Bomb, and said, "Hey, here's our camera. Can you film our set?" And I like, "Yeah, okay." And Tony, as soon as they hit the stage, Tony grabbed the camera from me and he centered it on Dave's belly for the whole show. And then and at the end of it, hands the camera back to Dave. Wow. And Dave's like, "Thanks, man." You know, and I'm sure when they got and saw it at some point.
Wow.
Yeah, that was Tony. That's the guy I don't talk to anymore.
Yeah, that's why Tony Fack was a dick. Jeez.
But he did shit that's funny. That's funny, man. I think that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so let's see. More about the Gun Training DVD. There's a torrent of it now of the DVD ISO. You can go to the Freedom Fiends blog, and up in the top right is a link that says torrents. You can click on that and you can get it and you can seed it. Yep.
Yeah. Do that.
Let's see. Gary Johnson is spamming me and they're doing something really sleazy. They're spamming me. I've never signed up for his newsletter. I'm getting his newsletter every couple days and they change the email address each time. So I can't block it.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Because
I mean, see, here's the thing.
He doesn't
it's not like Gary Johnson has any chance of making a dent. So why annoy people in the process? You're just ruining your brand. Although, I mean, his brand's already ruined in my mind for any true libertarian. All you have to do is go listen to the Bob Wenzel interview of him lying like he knew who Ludwig von Mises was or Murray Rothbard was. Screw that guy. I keep getting Romney spam.
You Republican.
I don't know what it is. It's some grassroots action thing, and they preface it with like a little disclaimer saying, "Here at Grassroots Action, we don't endorse candidates, but we make sure candidates can get their message out to Tea Party activists like yourself." And I'm like, I have not unsubscribed because I want to keep it there so I can keep tabs on what he's pitching to people and what these douchebags are pitching to people.
Speaking of politics, yesterday I was looking out my window just watching squirrels, and the neighbor kid across the street who it's this family that's subletting the house. They don't, you know, they've lived there about 4 months and they're probably gonna live there a few more months. The 17-year-old kid in that family, or 16, 17, 18, I don't know, late teenager, was up on a ladder doing something, help, you know, putting away something on the side of the house for winter.
Yeah.
And he was like on the second to the highest step, like, you know, the top step, it says never stand on. He was at the one below that, like teetering on the ladder, and it was in the grass, not on concrete or anything. Mm-hmm. And I was, and he almost fell off, like it wiggled and he kind of caught himself. And I was putting on my shirt to run over there and say, "Let me hold the ladder for you," or at least teach him, "You need someone to hold the ladder," you know, because he would have fallen one way. He would have fallen on the concrete and split his head open or broke his back. Ugh. So, I was about to do, you know, and he has a bunch of brothers and sisters. Some of them are old enough to hold a ladder. So I was going to go tell him, you know, he's fatherless. He doesn't know. No one's ever taught him you need someone to hold a ladder. So he was trying to be the man of the house. And I'm like, "Oh, let me go help the neighbor kid," you know. And I was putting on my coat to do that. And then he turned around on the ladder and he's wearing an Obama shirt. And I took my coat back off and just let him. He didn't fall. But
what? Oh, that's not cool, man.
The
proper thing to do would be to educate
Romney shirt.
Him.
If he had a Romney shirt, I would have done the same thing. I was just you're a voter. But still, you're proud of being a voter.
He's a kid, though. How old was he?
Adult, you know, 17, probably 18.
That still, though. I mean, when you're that age, I mean, I was a statist when I was that age. Weren't you?
Yeah.
You were okay. you were status 2 years ago.
All right. Next time it happens, I'll help him.
help him, and then because this is sort of my philosophy, is be very nice to statists and to socialists and people like that. Like, there's a guy at work right now, and we were having a discussion about foreign policy. Like, the presidential debate about foreign policy had happened, and we were both like ripping on them, like how ignorant both Obama and Romney were. And this guy's going to University of Texas. He's getting he's majoring in foreign policy or foreign policy studies or something like that. And we were totally on the same page. And then somehow it came out that I was an anarchist, and it came out that he was a socialist. And we sort of went back and forth on this. Like, he was like, but who would put out the fires and things like that? And I was explaining it to him. And then I had, you know, to go do work, so I couldn't really finish the conversation. But I've made it a point to be very nice to him and be very nice to everybody anyway, to set a good example. I mean, that's how you convince people, right? You lead by example.
You're right. And, you know, the kid doesn't have a father.
This guy's wearing an Obama shirt. I want him to fall over and break his skull.
No, I just didn't want to go far out of my way to do it. And, you know, a lot of people would think you're being nosy if you come over and say, let me tell you how to do your yard work. Seriously. So,
yeah.
But
offering also, a hand, you know, I mean, sometimes that's nice, you know, like somebody opening the door for you.
He's going to get Obamacare, and I'm going to be paying for his health insurance, so I should want to help him. And, you know, the kid doesn't have a father, so he wants, you know, he's black, he wants a father, so he looks at Obama, and Obama's like, okay, yeah, I'll be your father and do everything for you.
That's a good point to bring up is the concept of the state trying to replace people's fathers.
And being
that parental unit, that support system, replacing the family in general.
The federal family. Yeah. So a couple more announcements. Let's see. There's a cool site called anarchoradio.com who is now it's another streaming feed, and they are playing some fiends, and they play a lot of cool punk rock. You should check them out.
All right. Sweet.
And there's a movie you should check out. There's a movie you should check out called The Mouse That Roared. It's a 1959 Peter Sellers movie about a country that's the smallest country in the world that like is 15 square miles, and they attack the United States and go to war with them and win. It's not a freedom thing, but it's really funny.
Some other Liberty Media people were talking about that. Was that you? Have you mentioned it before?
I talked about it, but I finally got it. It's hard to get on Netflix. It's got a long queue, and they don't have many copies of it. So
okay.
But so speaking of Obama, Yahoo had an article called "What Do I Tell My Black Child If Obama Loses?"
Ah, I've got more about that though, because it's not as bad as you think. But we'll go ahead and read some of it and talk a little bit about it coming up here after we sell some things.
So was I judging a book by its title?
You were, but that's okay. We all do it all the time.
I really quickly read it. Information overload, man. The internet.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio. Streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. The Freedom Fiends from freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Brothers.com.
That's what it sounded like. So, Nima, we're going to call this I want to call this episode Good People Don't Rape, Kill, or Steal, Even If They Can Get Away With It.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you're not much of a good person if you would do those things if you could get away with them, right? I mean, if the only thing keeping you from immoral acts is a gun to your head, It's not real true morality. I mean, philosophers have explored that for centuries. That's old. That's not anything new. I mean, that's also kind of what the point of Clockwork Orange is about, right? I mean, in the end, the guy still wanted to rape mall chicks and do all sorts of horrible ultra violence. The drugs imposed on him by the state that made him sick whenever he had those thoughts that kept him from doing it. And the priest, the Catholic priest, calls the state out on it and says that this is disgusting. You know, this doesn't do any good for anybody. It's an abomination. It's unnatural.
I liked how back in the 70s, like when a movie had a moral point like that, I love the way they made that with the priest in that. Today, mm-hmm. that would be written so like weird and like Oprah-esque in some way, you know?
How do you mean? Like it'd be like some single mother explaining it to somebody?
I don't know. It's just in the 70s, I really liked the moral questions in movies and the way they were presented and extrapolated. Mm. But, you know, and I think that a lot of people who would rape, murder, or kill if they could get away with it don't even know they would and would be outraged that you'd suggest that. But, you know, I mean, what is it they say? Like 3 days without food to steal for most people and a week without everything to kill? That's a common saying in prepperism, you know?
Is it?
Like, yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm seeing it in New York. There's like people without power for 3 days and they're like, I don't see that they're killing yet because those people don't go on camera. But there's people saying like, after 2 days, I saw a lady on TV saying like, people are defecating in the hallway of my apartment building because there's no running water. And I'm thinking like, preppers generally have a chemical toilet, you know? That's part of prepping.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's saying, like, the government has to come in and do something. The elected officials have to come in and do something. And I'm like, sheesh, man. If I was without water and electricity and power and internet for 3 days, I'd be bored and, like, snacking on food and, you know.
You'd be bored, but your wife wouldn't even notice because she'd just
be
reads
reading
anyway.
Yeah.
She reads actual paper books.
As long as we had enough flashlights for her to read it. And she'd just sleep at night and read by the window in the day with an AK across her lap. Yeah.
right.
Yeah, so
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't rape, kill, or murder if I could get away with it.
Never,
it's not the state
never.
That keeps me from doing that. I also wouldn't steal. There are often things happen to where I have the opportunity to take more money than I feel than I'm actually owed. Just today at Walmart, a woman gave me my change, $5 in cash, and then something else happened. She had to explain something to me, and then she opens the register out and hands me another $5. And I was like, no, you already gave me my change. And she was like, are you sure? And I'm like, I checked my wallet. I'm like, yeah, it's right here. And she's like, oh, okay, thanks. You know, I don't want her to get in trouble. I don't want the store to lose $5 of wealth just because of my greed. Real morality comes internally. Otherwise, it's not real morality. It's just slavery or force.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about voting, how that connects with voting.
I guess because voting, all you're doing is you're delegating a right you don't have. You're delegating force. You're delegating the state to control people through force of arms, through laws which are just enforced at the barrel of a gun. You're saying, hey, representative, go force these people to do what I want them to do. So in essence, what you're doing is you're perpetuating the system where we trust a select few who are selected by you, the voter, to lord over us and control us. And as Ben Stone said when he quoted Tolkien, you know, the kind of people who want these things, the kind of people who seek to win the election, who seek your vote, those kinds of people are the worst kind of people to give those powers to because they seek it. They want it. They want that power. They have the what kind of lust is it? The ruling lust. There's some word for it. I don't know what it is, but they desire it so much because they want
tyranny
the
boner. A tyranny boner.
Tyranny boner. There, we'll phenify it. Yeah, they have a boner for tyranny. So you don't want those people calling the shots. In fact, in my opinion, you don't need anybody to call the shots but you. And whoever you work with on a specific project, and then you can call the shots together, because in those kinds of situations it's voluntary. You can leave any time. The state is not. The state, you pick somebody to call your shots, and then if you're a voter and you're into democracy, if you don't like
Fiend
the shots
phone.
Called, the
Fiend
best
phone.
Thing you can do is pick somebody else to call
Fiend
the shots.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Hello.
We
Fiend.
Got a Fiend phone.
Who's this?
Hey, gentlemen. This is Dave from Ohio.
What's up, Dave?
I believe
Ohio?
Nima. Nima, the term you're looking for is a Latin term called libido dominandi.
That's it. That's it. Thank you. Yeah, it does. That's awesome. What I was reaching awesome. For, but couldn't find it.
Sounds a lot sexier than it is.
Yeah, right. I agree. All right.
Well, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that concept? I mean, you obviously know the term. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what that term means and why people should avoid people with that libido dominant? Was it libido dominandus?
Dominandi. How do you say it?
Dominandi.
That sounds like the name of a Blue Oyster Cult song, but that's just me.
I want to say the term comes from St. Augustine or somebody, you know, somebody like that. I mean, it's pretty old. And, you know, Augustine.
He was a pervert, man.
Not the. Yeah. Choir boy.
It's really funny because Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, the nickname that group calls itself to not sound as shocking when they're discussing it in public is the Augustine Fellowship. Named after St. Augustine, because St. Augustine, as a youth, was a total whoremonger, and then he changed
his
ways.
The one that said, "Give me chastity and blah blah blah, just not right now."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
not quite yet.
That's funny.
Yeah,
he had a different kind
a little,
of lust.
You know, dominandi in my libido or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Did he have a power lust, or he was describing it in other people?
He was describing it in other people, I believe, but I think he was pretty big in the church hierarchy.
While he was alive or after
halfway straight, while he was alive, I believe. I can't swear, but you know, this is one of those things. You know, I was a public school victim too, and I should probably know more about this than I really do.
They don't teach him in public school.
You know, the fact that I know as much as I do means that they screwed up.
Yeah, no. Homeschooled, like,
they didn't
Flanders
keep you in
kids.
The dark enough.
Flanders kids could tell you all about St. Augustine of Hippo. The Vulgate, the Vulgate of St. When Bart goes to be babysat, when he gets taken away from his parents, Marge, for a day, he's over being, cared for by Flanders. And what they do for fun is they sit around and play a game called Bombardment. And Bart's like, cool. And he's like, of Bible questions. Oh, okay. And one of them is like, you know, what is the most accepted true version of the Bible? And one is like, I think, and the kids both know, and Bart answers like, Jesus. and the kids are like, the Vulgate of St. Hippo, the Vulgate of St. You know, like they know all about Augustine of St. Hippo. St. Hippo, St. Augustine of Hippo. Boy, how do we get out? We need Randy to call in. Randy knows his stuff, I'll bet you. Randy's Catholic. Is Randy there? Well, Randy can't call in.
I was too. Maybe that's where I got some of it.
I was Episcopal, which is like...
4 years of Latin in high school.
I was raised Episcopal and went to an Episcopal boarding school, which is basically like Catholicism with half the guilt and you have to know about half the stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Catholic light.
Yeah, I like the statue of St. Augustine. He's always feeding birds.
Really? I think that's St. Anthony, isn't it? Isn't that St. Anthony of Padua?
I don't know, man. All right.
He's got kind of that monk that you know that crazy. He's bald, but he has that braid around his head.
So, I think the topic was politics. Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for nobody this year.
Cool. Yeah. Are you actually going to go in and vote for nobody, or are you just going to not vote like us?
Oh, no, I'm not going to waste. I'm not going to waste that time.
Exactly.
I'm like killed on my way to the poll.
I don't want
to
be around those people. I know. People are getting angry. Well, we're going into a break, man. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Yeah. Take care, man.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Very active phone lines today. I like it.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times.
Libido dominandi.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
You don't care.
I'm talking to my friend Nima. If the world wants to listen in, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what we're here for. So you can listen in. You can listen in on our private conversations.
Yeah.
Of libido dominandi.
You love the word.
I love that word, yeah. I love it when I learn a new word. I say it all the time. Like, my wife explained to me what an Adirondack chair was, and so now everything is an Adirondack
chair. What is that? I've seen that word. Is it?
It's like, you see them on, like, you know, resort locations on balconies and stuff like that. It's kind of like it's got big arms and the arms are actually the legs at the same time, and then like the butt dips down almost where it touches the ground and it's kind of laid back and loungy.
Cool. We decided not to talk about the "what do I tell my black child if Obama loses" article on Yahoo.
Yeah.
Although I said, sheesh, is this going to be a taxed finance pamphlet they hand out at PTA meetings?
But actually the author sort of goes off on how you tell them, hey, he lost. you shouldn't be telling your kids, you shouldn't be placing your kids' hopes on what one single man of their race does anyway.
You really shouldn't.
He basically makes the point of, what were you telling your kids before Barack, they could do before Barack Obama got elected? Like, you can't do anything a black man hasn't done yet? I doubt people would tell their kids that.
I like Randall Perry's answer. Randall Perry said, you tell him that Obama being half black and fatherless is like Hitler being half Jewish and fatherless, because he was.
Yeah, yeah. And Hitler was horrible to the Jews, just like Barack is horrible to black people.
Yeah, throws him in jail for weed 4 times more than George Bush did and blows him up by remote control.
Yeah, well, those are brown people. I don't know. There's probably been some black people killed by a drone. I could see that happening. Or a bomb, you know, collateral damage in Libya.
Oh, in Libya,
when the black president bombed Africa. You people, that was just, you people out there that are humpers.
You people.
You people.
Yeah, Ghetto Boys, Fuck a War. That's a great song, man. And that's, he's bitching about Bush, and it's Bush 1. That's how
it's
old that song is.
It's the first Bush. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually, I was doing a mix, because usually my routine now is I go to work, I get home, it's like 3 in the morning, and because I'm using Serato now and my Neumark NS7, I can actually DJ at night just in headphones. And even if I want to cue things, I can actually put my big headphones on top and then put a little earbud in my right ear so I can still cue things. And so I was jamming, and I have a Ghetto Boys Greatest Hits CD. You know, and with Serato, pretty much anything on your computer, you can DJ. You know, it's a software that lets you control MP3s as vinyl. And I found the Ghetto Boys, and there was a song called Fuck a War. And I played it, and I was like, man, this is a great song. He's literally, like, ripping on the silliness of going to war. And I think it starts off with, like, a recruiter calling him. And like,
Tell him he's been drafted.
Yeah, tell him he's been drafted. And he's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about anything you're saying. Click.
Yeah.
And then they go off on what is it? What is the line? I don't want to get my leg blown off while Bush's old ass on TV playing golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, he's talking about Bush Senior. He's talking about HW. So there's a long history, people, of rappers and the counterculture hating warmongering presidents and wars in general. So I don't understand how anybody in the counterculture or anybody who calls themselves young and hip can be on Obama's dick riding, because he's the same. He's just George H.W. Bush times 4. That's all he is.
Yeah, he's black, and he's like, you know, he talks a little more cool, but not really. I mean, people say he does, but he kind of stutters a lot too. I mean, Andre actually kind of imitated that in the, like, debate.
Andre's impression of Obama was way more on point than my Romney impression. And at first I was like, oh, he sounds like an old man who doesn't know how to talk. And then I listened to some Obama and I was like, oh yeah, that's how Obama really sounds too.
He does. He sounds like an old black grandfather, you know? And he doesn't
when he
stutter.
Tries to do it for effect, like he pauses like he's some kind of you know, preacher. But he's not passionate. You can tell he's just saying what he was told to say in the briefing that morning.
I know.
He's just repeating his talking points.
Although he's smarter than Romney, and Scott Horton went into a lot of detail about that, but that's not an endorsement, as he said. And
like,
you know,
Romney in the foreign policy thing said Syria is Iran's outlet to the ocean, which is retarded, because have you ever heard of the Persian Gulf? Yeah. Romney, it's named after the country. Yeah. The whole Gulf, you idiot. Yeah.
I mean, he's basically George Bush. He's a stupid, stupid man that's going to be manipulated by smarter men. And Obama is a really smart man who has surrounded himself with really smart, evil people. So,
yeah.
Men and women. I was going to say men, but then I remember.
Which I don't know which is worse, because that almost makes it seem like Obama must be more evil or eviler than Skeletor, I mean, that's the choices, as LEG would say.
That's the choices we're given. You know, we really are in bizarro world. It's like, okay, our choices are like, do you want to be shot in the face or do you want to be shot in the back of the head? That's the voting choice. And then everyone's running around saying, and that's not a threat. That's I'm speaking speciously, and I'm speaking, I want to make that clear. I don't want to get Brendan robbed here. The choice is getting kicked in the nuts or punched in the stomach, basically. And that's how it's always been, but it's more like that than ever. But
it's even closer than that. It's the choice is getting kicked in the left testicle or getting kicked in the right testicle.
There you go. Do you want a left boot on your testicle or a right boot on your testicle?
Yeah.
So, and then the other bizarro thing is that everybody on the left and everybody on the right is screaming that this is the most important election ever. There have never been two candidates more diametrically opposed to each other. And if you don't vote, you're worse than Hitler. I mean, that's basically what I'm getting from everybody. You know, I really like Scott Horton's thing. He said he got really sick of arguing with liberals and conservatives individually on Twitter and Facebook. And he said, I'm so sick of it. I'm just going to say all liberals suck and all conservatives suck. It's a lot easier. I agree.
Yeah, I agree too, man. All voters suck. How's that? If you suck.
And the presidential thing isn't the only thing coming up. I mean, there's a bunch of bond issues. There's a bunch of, in my town, there's a really funny, really nasty radio ad right now of two guys who are running for state congress or whatever, state congressman, state rep. One of the guys running, the other guy made a slam ad that's on the radio that says like so-and-so. Says he's a good guy, but did you know that so-and-so wants to perform invasive operations on pregnant women? And he's against mandatory blood testing for drunk driving. Maybe that's because he's been convicted of two DUIs.
Yeah.
And the man, you know, the invasive thing is he's one of those anti-abortion guys who thinks that anybody going for an abortion should have to get an ultrasound and look at it and see that there's a fetus before, you know. They're all
ridiculous shit, man. I mean,
God told me to do that. God told me to show you your child and charge the taxpayer.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point, right?
And people vote for that. Like there's a whole contingent in Wyoming that will vote for that guy just because of that. And they're probably the same people who will say, hey, I'll vote for him. He's had two DUIs. He represents me more than the other guys. I've had three, you know.
Yeah.
Not to say that drunk driving laws are good, but
people can't grasp their head around the idea that just because you think something is right, then, you know, try to persuade people to it. Why does it's not right anymore if you get the government to force people to do that thing that you like, that thing you want people to do. It's not right anymore if you get the government to point a gun at somebody and say, hey, do this or else I'll throw you in a cage or else I'll steal $1,000 and call it a fine. That's not fine, man. That's lame. That's bullshit. And the other thing is they don't show this kind of gun at all, especially with like the bonds. We have one going on in Austin for a med school, right? The government wants to build a medical school, an extension of the UT pre-med program, I guess, and build a whole new giant building and a hospital. And all the ads are, we need more doctors in our area. Why don't you vote for this and support a healthy Austin? Well, that's not what you're supporting, right? If you want more doctors in the area, build your own hospital. Convince your own hospital to come. If the market wants it, the market will get it. What you're doing, you're voting for the government to steal money and then build a building and then say, hey, doctors, come here. It's completely different than supporting doctors and hospitals.
DJ's been getting up in people's face on the street about stuff. I'm really proud of her. It's like, I wouldn't even do this stuff. Like, I do it on the internet and then, like, I can block people. But she, there was a guy putting up a big sign, like 15-foot long banner with poles on a public park, you know, on a little strip in the middle of the road the other day by the in back of the post office where you drive on that little abandoned road behind the post office. And she slowed down and looked at him and like rolled down her window. And what did you say, DJ? She said, no. And then slowly drove away while mad dogging him.
No.
And we went to Walmart yesterday and she was wearing her t-shirt that has the Jefferson quote. I mean, it's Jefferson, but it's still for Wyoming. That's pretty libertarian. And, you know, we've had it for a while. It says a government that can give you everything, big enough to give you everything you want, is big enough to take away everything
take
you have.
Away.
And like two ladies at the fashion counter working there, two of the middle-aged ladies, like started talking to her and she had an animated conversation with them about it. And they were agreeing with her. You know, they were like, who are you going to vote for? And she's like, there's no choice. I'm not going to vote. And they're like, yeah, you know, there's not.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice. See, that's real work. That's how you change.
That is.
Things,
and it's more
right?
dangerous than yelling on the internet. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, folks. We'll be back after we pimp some more of our stuff.
Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Live. You already know what it is.
I think I taped that whole break. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that. We didn't bash anybody. I think we just talked about how great the fucking ad is for Scott Beezer's.
Beezer. Beezer,
stuff.
Like Beezer.
And then I was singing along with it with reverb, like, there's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features.
Yeah, features. It was cool. But it's weird because there's delay on it because there's a delay from what when I hear you.
I know,
but
so
I don't
I'm
know
off.
I don't know which delay gets recorded. I don't know.
Well, it's always off. It might be correct when it goes live, but when I sing along and go worms, worms, worms in beat to our outro music, when I listen to the playback of it, it's off.
Yeah.
But it's an equal amount
fault.
Off, so it's good.
You people try. Go out
you
there
people,
try.
If
you think we're ridiculous, try to sing a song along with somebody on a cell phone. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't stay in tune. Even if you do a round.
So before we
I think the delay also doesn't it like fluctuate?
Yeah.
You know, depending how strong the signal is.
Well, depending on how much they need to compress for varying network conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about honey-do list, but I think I got it all in there. I think I said, DJ comes home and I'm like, oh, I cleaned up the whole backyard and raked up 8 bags of leaves and, put in the storm windows and covered up the air conditioner. And she's like, wow, amazing. And it's like, I think a lot of husbands have to be told what to do and have a list for that shit. But I just do it. I'm like, I own this house with her. And it's like, she's too busy working 9 to 5 to do it. I'm going to do it because I love doing it. I get a boner from doing it, man.
It's a good boner.
From walking around with a gun in my pocket, raking my leaves in the fall, in the autumn.
I also
think
it's a function of age. The older you get, the more turned on you get by doing yard work.
Well, Hank Hill, the only time he ever gets political is when like the city council's messing with his ability to have the perfect yard or his toilet.
His toilet, too. Yeah.
I know. Oh, but then there's the food wagon one where he's like selling trans fats on a food wagon with his boss after they've banned him. And he has a dream that like he's on a fighter plane with like George Washington and Abe Lincoln and like Landry, you know, the coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, they're being his mentor in his dream, telling him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're not being very much like what they were in the rebel, like Jefferson, Washington is saying things like, you have to obey every law as written, Hank. That's what makes society strong. And I'm thinking like, what, the guy who risked treason and hanging by treason to like break all the laws? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when he became the new king, broke a bunch of the new laws.
Yeah, man.
Tyrannize people.
Obviously. And that upsets me too, especially with pop culture. To me, that's one of the biggest things that is involved in getting people to do the horizontal enforcement, which is really the heavy lifting for the
state.
You're
talking about the hagiography of the sainthood of the founding fathers that whitewashes over everything.
Yeah, there's
they really
that. And then
for.
Also the whole, this is the greatest country in the world, yada, yada. There's,
every country in the world
station.
Believes that, man. Every country
yeah,
in the
exactly.
world. Every school kid.
You can't all be right.
In every country in the world throughout history and before there was school, every child was taught from a very young age that his country was the greatest country in the world. There's actually a really funny kind of takeoff on that in that movie, The Mouse That Roared. And I guess this is a spoiler alert if anyone's actually going to watch that. I mean, it's Peter Sellers, 1959. It's pretty funny. Yeah, that's the guy who did Pink Panther. It's that kind of humor. You know, there's when they decide to go to war, they're trying to raise their army, and they don't really have an army. They have like, basically, they have an archery team, and they can't even shoot straight with longbows. And, you know, they're trying to say, well, we need you to go to war. Who will volunteer? And nobody does. And they're like, well, who believes that whatever our country's called is the greatest country in the world? And they all raise their hand and go, yay. You know, and I'm like, okay, this country no one's ever heard of and the U.S. State Department can't find on a map after it declares war on the U.S. believes it's the greatest country in the world, you know?
Right, right. That's just, and that's it. And people need to get past that. And the hardest thing is it's so ingrained that it's everywhere. Like, there's this station I listen to now when I'm working because I listen to the radio a lot. It's actually pretty good. It's a comedy station. It's called, like, 24/7 Comedy or Comedy 102.7 or something like that. And they just play clips of stand-up comedians. And even when they're ripping on the government, like, there'll be ones from the Bush era that they're just ripping on Bush. They always have to preface it with, you know, I believe America's the greatest country in the world. Like
and they cheer, like, and people cheer.
Everybody cheers automatically. It reminds me of how Muslims, after they say Muhammad's name, they have to say, like, As-salamu alaykum, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it's like you have to do that. If you say USA and you're in public, you have to say greatest country in the world.
You have to say God is great. The God of the country is great.
Which just goes to show you it's nothing but this blind faith, this blind societal religion.
You have a choice of what your religion is, at least.
Well, not even what your religion is, but which church you go to,
which faith you follow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, a Muslim,
are you Episcopalian or you know, Protestant or whatever?
A Muslim or a Christian has the choice to not be in, you know, and Christians have to do rituals and things, but they have a choice not to do it. Muslims have a choice not to do it.
Except when the state's involved, right? Because people say, well, Muslims are forced to do this. No, not by Islam itself, right, but by the states that they live in, just like we are here.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, the state has this quote unquote separation of church and state, when you treat the state like it's your church, it's kind of pointless, isn't it?
Yeah. So I don't have a honey-do list. I just do honey.
Back to that. Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking
about. So you were going
to
talk about bond issues, and we were wondering where the tax is coming from on this one. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Well, okay. So I'm looking through the PDF that the Austin City government gives you, and I'm guessing that this is one of those voter information packets, which I bet they send out to people who are registered to vote.
At least Casper, they tell you. At least in Casper, they tell you how much it's going to be and what it's going to come out of. They're going to raise the sales tax 1 cent. Your place, they don't even tell you. What does it say exactly?
Ah, okay. Well, it's confusing because this is the part that's highlighted, and it says ballot language. So I'm wondering if they have more than this on the actual ballot.
A long version and a short version.
Right. But the part that's highlighted, for instance, here's Proposition 14 in Austin, Texas, this election. Parks and Recreation, ballot language. The issuance of 77,680,000 park and recreation improvement bonds and notes and the levy of a tax sufficient to pay for the bonds and notes.
It doesn't say what the tax is or where it comes from.
It doesn't in there, which is the highlighted part, which is why it's confusing. Then it goes on to say, if approved, this proposition would allow the city to provide funding for designing, blah, 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 blah. And then it says no increase in this year's property tax rate is anticipated as a result of passage of this
anticipated
proposition. Anticipated. So, yes, it's not very clear language. It's vague. They basically and that's the thing. The part that's highlighted says a tax sufficient to pay for the bonds and notes. And it looks like all of them, which there's
multiple.
That could
be anything. It could be we need to come into everyone's home and count their bullets and charge them $5. For every bullet they have.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing is, you know, it's kind of like when you go to the grocery store, right, and you feel like, oh, well, I'm buying cheap stuff. You know, I'm buying ramen and a bunch of things that cost $1. And then you go check out, it's like, you know, $40-$50. You're like, whoa, I didn't expect to spend that much. You know, these things, either one of them taking a loan, it's still a lot of money, but I guess not a lot of money for a city, but $77 million, that's a lot of money. And each one is like that. And so what they do is they take the taxes, they all throw them in some other thing, and then they decide when they're going to tax you. So in the end, it ends up being a lot, and it's unseen. You know, it's not readily apparent unless you literally go to the city council meetings all the time or literally watch the news that talks about the city council meetings. Who the hell does that? Nobody, except for people over the age of 60.
Do you have the local C-SPAN there? We do.
I'm sure we do, but I mean,
who watches?
Nobody
that?
Who has a life watches that, do they? That's for like shut-ins and invalids and old people who that vote. Don't have jobs.
Old people who vote and say, yeah. "I'd like my great grandchildren to have a new library."
Exactly. That's another good point. There's a lot of self-selection bias in the way politics and voting works, too. But we'll talk more about that when we come back.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Oh, I don't know, man. If it comes organically, we'll let it come. We're here.
Nima doesn't realize we're back in the air.
No, I did. I was listening to it.
But you don't care because you're just talking to your friend Michael. You're just talking to your friend Michael.
That's it.
You don't care if there's people listening.
I do. Yeah. I do. In fact, I care so much that I want you to call in if you're listening and you want to steer the conversation in any one direction.
You people.
We'll hear you out.
Call
you can
in.
Make a pitch.
You people.
It's 307-215-5171. Again, that number in a sexier voice, 307-215-5171. That was actually creepy. I don't think that was sexy, but
no, I like
you get
it.
The point.
I like
call it.
It.
Call it.
I tell you I listened to our new song, Obama's Feet Stink, on a loop on my iPod for 8 hours the other day while doing yard work?
That's
I'm not
funny.
Kidding.
See, I mean, the way I feel about it is I don't have to do that because I listened to it 8 hours while I was mixing it.
Yeah, but then, and I did listen to it for like 20 hours while I was editing the video, but probably 8 hours altogether.
I'm gonna throw it on my smartphone, and I haven't listened to the finished mix in my car, which is usually not something I do. Usually, that's one of the places
Les
I listen
Paul
to that
used
is
to
in
mix
my
in
car.
His car. Les Paul used to mix in his car. He used to, you know, now
I can do that.
Now
yeah,
in studios, in good studios, they always have three sets of speakers. They have the Giganto best speakers in the world one that shake the room and sound like you're in a stadium. They have like mid-sized ones that are comparable to a good home stereo, and then they have like a boombox, and that's what they mix it to sound good on all three. But Les Paul invented that. He would drive his car up next to the station and or the recording studio and run wires out the window and hook it up to his car speakers and sit in his car and listen to playback.
Nice. I could do that too. I just bring my laptop in my car and plug it into the aux input. And, I'm probably going to start doing that again. I used to do that. That used to be like my number one thing is I have to listen to it in the car before I publish it. But
I've got good headphones,
and so I don't really do it now. And
the reason that I do that and why I brought it up is because
that's how people hear.
Don't tell me what I think.
You mean the reason that you listen to the song for 8 hours?
I got something deep to say. Yeah, the reason I do it. Okay. The reason I do that is because I make the art that doesn't exist in the world that I want to consume. Like, literally, if somebody else did everything I'm doing, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'd be doing what Sean Duvalli's doing. I'd be like, how can I help you guys? And then I'd do what he's doing, which is learn from the school of the fiends, and then he's going to go off in a year and, be the campaign manager for not for politicians. I think he's gonna go be a PR guy for professional wrestlers. PR professional wrestlers. So but then we'll find someone else to do it. But literally
Fiend
like,
phone. Fiend phone.
It's him calling to yell at me probably.
Fiend phone.
Yeah. It's Michael. Who's this?
This is Jeremy from Ohio. How are you?
Hey, good. What's up? You're on the air.
I figured as much. My feed must be behind because I didn't even hear it ring.
It's 30 seconds behind. 15 to 30 seconds behind, depending on your internet connection. That's how it keeps from dropping.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just listened on my phone.
What's up, man? Jeremy from Ohio.
Nothing. I just called in to complain about the status people because we were getting so close to the election that they're driving me insane.
Go for it, man.
Tell us, man.
You got some stories?
How are they driving
you got some
insane?
Stories?
Of course I do.
Go ahead.
There's one girl on Facebook. She's a guy that I work with's wife, and she's really stupid, and she's a huge Romney supporter, and she has no idea why she likes him other than he's a Republican. So I was to the point where I was going to get defriended by her from just bugging her.
Good.
Every little post she was making comments. So I backed off a little bit. And then one of my buddies at work, I was at the office on Friday, and they grabbed my iPad and posted on Facebook, "I've reconsidered. I'm voting for Romney. He's a very handsome man to mine."
What?
And then everybody knew, because all I do is, you know, hate on Obama and Romney. So they got all kinds of attention. Everybody was all over it. And then she posted, "That's the most intelligent thing you've ever said." So then later that day,
she's
I said, "Explain to me why you want Romney to be the president, say nothing negative about Obama, why Romney should be president without using talking points, Republican GOP without talking points." And she immediately posted two like little GOP made things about taxes. And I said, "No, you need to tell me why you want him without talking points." And then
were they like copied and pasted from the GOP Romney site?
It's exactly what they were. And then we made fun of her because my other buddy got in. And he likes Gary Johnson. He's not there yet, but he's getting there.
I'll tell you, man, if somebody got on my property, on my computer, this is your iPad, not your work's iPad, right? It's your own private iPad?
Yeah, this is my iPad.
I'd fucking punch somebody, man. I'd end up in jail if someone did that to me. You don't touch my computer. It's like touching my wife, man. You don't fuck with my shit.
Basically, it happens.
And, you know, and I think that anybody that commits fraud like that, I mean, I think in LibPair, that would still be a really serious crime. Like being, you know, assuming the identity of someone else and making them look,
well,
I don't know.
There's also the issue of it being obviously not true.
Okay, free speech too, but
he's saying
it's
people
the fact
obviously
that she did it
knew
from
it wasn't
his,
him saying that.
I have a real issue. I have a real issue with the she grabbed his property to do it with.
Oh, it wasn't her, it was somebody else.
I'm okay with it from the standpoint of it started a hugely successful thread.
Okay.
That then, you know, people were responding to. So that
did you convert anybody? Did you convert anybody that was sort of on their way there yet?
Not really.
Keep trying, man. Keep trying.
Hard. People are very... My 8-year-old, I had to help her study for her government social studies test. My wife was scared to have me help
her. How to be a good voter test. How to be a good citizen.
She made her flashcards, and one of them was taxes, and it's money given to the government to provide. And I said, correction. I said, you can put that down on the test, because that's what they want you to say, but the correct definition would be money stolen from the government to provide inferior services.
Stolen by the government. Yeah.
inferior services. There you go.
And she was like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well," because I've heard Larkin Rose make this comparison. I said, "Well, what if I just took $10 from you?" And I said, "You wouldn't like that, would you?" And she was like, "No, I wouldn't at all." And I said, "Well, what if I said, well, I'm just going to go get you lunch?" She says, "Oh, okay, that wouldn't be so bad." I said, "And then I came back with a stale bologna sandwich with nothing on it." And I said, "Why provide you a service?" And she was like, "Oh, yeah. I don't think I'd like that." I said, "That's the government."
That's the Ron Swanson argument. Right. You just
Ron Swanson eating the sandwich thing.
Yeah. You ever seen that?
No. Well, I don't remember. I got a kick out of him the other week.
Parks and Recreation. There's one where, you know, he's working in the government office, and it's like 10-year-old girl comes in and says, "I'm supposed to interview a government worker for my class," and she sits down and says, and he says, "Can you tell me about?" At first, he's like, he wants to get rid of her because he doesn't want to talk to anybody or do his job at all. But finally, she's like, "Well, can you tell me about the government?" And his eyes kind of perk up, and he's like, "Yes, I can." And he sits down, he opens up her lunchbox, he eats a third of everything in her lunchbox, and puts it back in, and says, "That's what the government does." Any questions?
I love Ron.
And then she writes a report. Oh, he also gives her a Claymore landmine to protect her property. And the girl's mother comes storming in a few days later and says, "Did you give my daughter a landmine?" And he's like, "Well, it seemed to make sense at the time." And this and this report she wrote, "Why the Government Matters," she wrote, "It doesn't." She failed. And, you know, so he ends up, the little girl ends up writing another essay that's what the teacher wants to hear and gets an A or a B, and then comes back to visit Ron, and she shows him the thing where she got the F for saying the government doesn't matter, and he says, "May I have this?" And he said yes. And when she finally leaves, he literally like looks like he has a tear in his eye, and he holds it up on the wall like he's gonna frame it, like, okay, it's gonna go right here.
Ron Swanson's awesome.
He is.
He's the best.
I told my boss about the one a couple weeks ago where that his girlfriend came by and she was like, am I interrupting anything important? And he's like, impossible. I work for the government. That one's been floating around as a meme too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had my buddy call me too. He's super Republican. I haven't talked to him in like a month. And I try to avoid the whole, because it's like talking to the wall with him. And he was like, so are you voting next week? And I said, no, I'm gonna sit this out. You know? And he was like, well, then he started, well, that's a vote for Obama. And I said, so you're assuming I'd vote? I said, you're assuming I'd vote for Romney? Because that would never happen.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, no. And then finally, he got to the point where he was saying, just go. Just write in Ron Paul. Vote for Gary Johnson.
It's that important. That's funny. It's that important to go write. Obama's going to win. Obama's going to win. Obama's going to win. I'm going to say it right now. Obama's going to win.
So?
Yeah. So, hang on.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win?
Oh, listen to this.
Keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government.
Can you hear it?
Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Chuck, when did you guys put that one out? About a week ago?
Yeah, we're putting it out before the election. A couple days ago. So
yeah, I think it was a few days ago.
I heard it on that quicker.
We're on a break right now, but we're still recording for the archive if you want to keep talking until we got to come back.
That's fine. Yeah.
So do you feel like... See, I block friends like that. I am not friends with people. First of all, they usually block me first. But the ones who don't, like, you know, this girl that's like totally into gun control was bitching me yesterday about how we need to prevent things like what happened in Denver. And I'm like, so you're into gun control. So you mean you want cops to put a gun to my head and steal my private property that will never be used for anything except peaceful uses or self-defense against a violent person? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, but I don't know. You're being antagonistic. I just want more laws. And I'm like, that's what laws do. And then I was like,
yeah.
You used to be an anarchist. You used to live with a band called Millions of Dead Cops and do their merchandise at their show. You know, what happened to you? You used to be cool. And if you say I grew up, I'm going to unfriend you. And then she's got into this whole like, well, let's just agree to disagree. And I'm like, no, because it's not just words. It's actions. You want to vote or lobby to have people come at me with a gun and steal my private property. And like, she didn't get it. She thought I was being an asshole. She's like, I like you. I want to be your friend. I don't want to argue. Let's talk about literature or something. And I'm like, okay. And I thought, I took Nima's advice. You know, normally I would have blocked her by now, or like blocked her and then posted screenshots of her as a blog post or something with her last name scratched out. But I took Nima's advice and I didn't dump her completely so I can maybe educate her. But literally, this chick used to live with a band called Millions of Dead Cops and be their merchandise girl. And I'm like, dude, what happened to you? You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The reason I give that advice is these people, they might not get it now. They might not ever get it. But I've had conversations with people where I take a hard line on something. Like, there was some guy that was saying, you know, you need to be licensed to have babies. You know, that sort of liberal population control kind of meme. And I explained to him how that's just a basic animal right. Like, every animal, that's part of one of the functions of life is reproducing. That's how we define life. If you take that away from people or put that in the hands of other people, you're being immoral and ridiculous. And he argued it night and day with me, and then a week later, you know, we were talking. He's like, "Oh yeah, I agree with you now. I thought about it, and it just clicked."
Yeah,
some people it will click later.
The thing that I really need to remember, Nima, is like, I need to apply the Alcoholics Anonymous thing to it, because in AA, I've talked about how like I would sponsor the unsponsorable guys, the guys that kept relapsing, that had been fired by their sponsors, fired by five sponsors, and I would sponsor them, and they'd relapse and they'd quit calling me, and like, 3 years later, they'd find me on the internet and email me when I lived in a different city and be like, you know, I finally got it and I'm sober and I have you to thank. You were the one guy that would put up that, you know, didn't put up with me, but you sat and worked with me when nobody else would. Right. So I need, I mean,
stuff
I won't
can stick in people's brain. Even if you have a 0.001% success rate.
You know, I won't take abuse from somebody, like, but this chick wasn't being abusive. She was just being, ignorant. You know, yeah. If someone says like,
yeah.
"You're a fucking horrible person because you don't want to vote for Obama, and I hope you die in hell," and then wants to keep talking to me, or like the guy who, the union member who said he was going to hunt me down and cut off my head and shit down my neck because I was pro Ron Paul, or I liked Ron Paul better than Obama. You know, those people I'll block. But this chick wasn't being abusive. She was just being ignorant. So with people that are not abusive and just ignorant, I should keep them around a little more.
Yeah, I tend to think that they'll come around. Like, because, I don't know, I'm of the thinking that the whole thing can't last forever anyway. It's just not sustainable. So, and when you make moral...
I think we're back. Hang on a sec.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are back. And we're still talking. Keep talking, man. Let's have you talk as long as you want.
So I think if you make a morally consistent and sound argument, if somebody even most people don't, but if they do take the time to think about what you said, then they have to eventually come around. At least that's the hope.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, and I don't think there's a 100% or even maybe a majority percent that maybe will. But you're right. The thing is inconsistent. The state does collapse eventually, whether or not that happens in our lifetimes, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if we've made the argument and if that's still in somebody's head, then when the world does start to collapse, they'll go, huh, maybe that person I listened to was right. Maybe the state is unsustainable. Maybe the state is immoral.
And during the break, I was using the analogy of AA. And like AA, you don't have a high success rate for the first time everybody walks in the door. I mean, I'd say like 60 or 70% of them go out and drink again. But, you know, I was talking about how I would sponsor the unsponsorable, and 3 or 4 years later after they fired me because they wanted to go drink, you know, they'd write me and be like, you were the only guy that took time with me. So basically if someone's not abusive, if they're just ignorant, I should work with them. And another corollary I think would be like religious proselytizing. I hate to say it, but you know,
yeah.
I mean, the reason people go and do ministries in other countries, except for the, you know, back, except for the ones that go and kill everybody. And you know, the ones that actually just go to do good, like they join the whatever, and go over there and dig wells and read the Bible, teach and read and give them Bibles. That's from a quote in the Bible, something about like, it's the duty of every Christian to present the word to every living man and woman on earth. And then if the people refuse God, then when they go to heaven, they can be cast into hell if they haven't accepted it. And it's
kind of, at least they had a chance. They weren't ignorant.
Yeah. And we joke about that too. We say we're going to tell everyone we can. And then, you know, when we're libertarian emperor of the world,
you say
I'm going to put them in libertarian reindoctrination camps. And, you know, Sean Diwali was looking at our stats. He's doing the streaming server uploading now. And he's like, God, someone's been listening for 2 days. What is that? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, maybe it's a libertarian reindoctrination camp.
it's been outsourced. Yeah.
It's a independent libertarian.
That's a good analogy too, because I've never encountered a missionary. You know, I usually invite them in, or at least I used to in the past, and you know, offer them a drink and sit down and chat with them. I've never met one that was judgmental about you in that moment. I've never met them. You know, we'll have a discussion or even a debate, but I've never had them say, "Well, you're going to hell."
And, you know what you could do? You know what you could do if you had a lot of time on your hands. And maybe record it. You could say, I'll let you in and you can talk to me about God for 10 minutes. If I can talk to you about liberty for 10 minutes,
yeah.
And we'll videotape it and put it on YouTube.
I tried that. Not the recording part, but I did that like 4 months ago. Some guy going door to door.
How did
what'd you, what'd you say and what'd he say?
Well, he basically was asking if I was Christian. I said, I'm not. As my wife is, but I'm not. She's not into it. And, you know, I said, and he was like, well, you don't believe in God? I said, no, I'm not an atheist. And I tried to build a common ground. I said, I think they're just as stupid as, well, not as stupid. I said, they've got no room telling people that most atheists are angry because Christians are telling them that they know the way, you know, at least that I'm aware of. But when you're an atheist, you're kind of saying, my point of view is you're saying that you know the way, that there is no God and nobody knows.
Yeah, a lot of atheists are really angry and really religious about it and like need to tell everyone about it. Although I think it's kind of like liberty. If you're absolutely sure something's right, and I'm a deist, which means like I think there's probably some kind of superior, you know, some kind of being that created everything, but I don't think that it needs me to reassure it constantly, and I don't think it reaches down and rearranges the train schedules or hurricanes. You know, it's not that important part of my life. And I really, that's what I've come to after 48 years, and I'm not going to change. So
Yeah, kind of where you are.
You know, and I think there was actually a band, this really band I really like called 9353 in DC who had a record. Their record was called We Are Absolutely Sure There Is No God. And I thought that was a really funny name because it's like, how can you be absolutely sure there's no God, you know? But that's what
they call it. Well, there's that episode of The Simpsons where Homer like stays up all night and has a proof and he gives it to Flanders in the morning. Oh, and I prove there's no God and hands him a sheet
of paper. And then Flanders burns it because it's correctly. Yeah. I was trying to come up with a flat tax proposal, but I accidentally proved there's no God. And Homer, Flanders looks at it. It's one page and he reads it. He's like, no, wait, there must be a mistake. No, didn't he carry the one? Okay. Okay, nope, it's airtight, and then he just starts like burning it with his lighter while Homer's like putting copies of it under people's windshield wiper down the street.
How did the missionary react when you pitched Liberty to him?
He was shocked that, well, I didn't even go that far, but okay. I basically, because of the story of, because I'll go to church with my wife, but the story of Passover really bothered me.
Sacrificing children, isn't it?
Yeah, and so I brought that up to him, and I said, that's not moral behavior. And his argument was, well, he warned them. And I said, so murdering people if you warn them is moral? And he was like, well, I mean, it was God. And I was like, okay, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I was very civil. And then I said, so President Obama said, put your American flags out, and if you don't have your American flag out, he's going to drone strike bomb your house. Is that moral? He's like, but that's God, and he's just the president.
Yeah, like, that's not what a lot of people
kind of
think.
The same thing.
Yeah.
So then at the end of it, because we were getting nowhere, at the end of it, I basically started to bring up the wars and how, because I was, my point is I get very angry with people that, because I'm pro-life, but I'm fully pro-life.
Pro-life meaning about abortion or about war?
Well, I don't, both. But that's because that's pro-life. If you're just pro-life about abortion and not about the wars, you're not pro-life.
Ah, good point.
And I also want to rebrand pro-choice as pro-death because I think it's called what it is. And but my thing with pro-life is you shouldn't make it illegal. Abortion's illegal because it just creates a black market. So just you know, teach people morality, let them make their own decisions, and you know they got to live with those decisions. So I just started to talk about the wars, and he kind of freaked out and ran.
Yeah, I disagree about abortion being wrong, but I really like what you're doing with talking to Christians about if you're going to be anti-abortion, you should be anti-war. Because in my state, there are so many voters who like the two things that'll get somebody elected in the state is being anti-abortion and pro-military, which is really
it's the
a
same
weird.
Here. It's so gross.
Yeah,
I went to a little kid's birthday party. I took one of my other kids to a birthday party, and the little kid's birthday cake was, and this is me overthinking things maybe. I don't think it is, but some people would say. And he's got like his birthday cake's army, and it's got tanks and soldiers with guns on it. And I'm like, your birthday cake is death machines and people shooting and killing each other. I was like, it's so disturbing. It's like Spider-Man. Yes.
Are you a gun? For a kid? A little kid.
Are you a gun guy? Do you own guns?
I have one.
Cool.
Yeah, I got one last year because I got weirded out because of the Fast and Furious thing.
There's people that think all guns are death machines. I see what you're saying about military stuff being death machines.
I love guns.
Like this chick I was arguing with, you know, that I was talking about was telling me that like, oh, I'm not into guns. I'm anti-violence. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense,
stupid.
Man.
It's a non sequitur.
You have to defend yourself. You have to have the ability to defend yourself. That's all it is, you know?
Exactly.
But you know what? My point was the pro-life thing, it's hard with some Christians because this lady at work, I brought that up to her because she was talking about voting. Are you going to watch the debate? And she knows where I stand. I'm like, no, probably not. It's a waste of time. And then I figured I might make a point with her because she's very Christian. So I said, you know, I went down that track. And she said, well, what about Israel? Do you read the Bible? I said, no, I don't read the Bible. But I respect that you do, and that's great, and you should be able to. And she said, well, Israel, you know, then she got freaked out about Israel. And I'm like, oh, what's with these people in Israel?
You know, it's funny. Christians like that, like Joe Lunchpail in America.
They want the Armageddon to happen.
Yeah, man. Like Joe Lunchpail
in America. And then they want to either, they want Jews to either convert or the Jews will die. So Israel shouldn't be so cozy with this.
Well, what you should ask the Christians about who are pro-war but anti-abortion is, think about when they do a drone strike and wipe out a wedding party. There's probably pregnant women in that wedding party, and you just aborted their kid, you know?
Oh, but those are scary brown people that are probably terrorist fetuses. So that doesn't matter. But no, I'm trying to put like something together to make people think
terrorist
about
fetuses.
This whole, the Iran situation, and I don't know, you can give me your opinion on whether you think this has hold any weight, is because everybody, you know, the war drums are beating, and they're saying we have to invade because they're going to get this nuclear weapon and they make it sound like they will immediately launch it.
Nima, your dad's from Iran, so you have relatives who are going to get bombed if they bomb that place. So you take that one.
Ridiculous.
Well, I want to hear the rest of the question.
We got like 30 seconds, man. We're getting kicked off the air here. Like,
will
minutes,
not work but, in 30 seconds. So basically, in a short form, is you have to put it in normal terms. So let's say there's a guy in Hawaii that says he just can't get a gun. But if he gets a gun, he's going to come to your house and shoot you in the head. But he's in Hawaii, and you live in Ohio. It's really far away.
Well, this chick's in Oakland that is gun control nutty. And, like, first of all, guns are already very illegal to carry in Oakland, but everyone gets shot all the time there. And it's like, I live in Wyoming, and I'm never going to set foot in California again. And I told her that. And it's like, why do you want to take away my guns, man? I ain't going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Well, back to the Ohio. If you use the Ohio metaphor.
We're done.
We'll talk about it in the next cast. I'll answer the question.
Call back next week, man.
Will do. All right, have a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. This has been the Freedom Fiends. Worms.